We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank, your partner in possible. Who you do business with is more important than where they're located. Bank from the comfort of your own home with M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory Podcast with Ken Swanson, Craig Stout, and Matt Lane. Coming to you on the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City. You can find all of our channels covering all the local teams wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Just search KCSN. And now, the latest episode of the KC Laboratory.
It's a live edition of the KC Laboratory presented by M-Prize Bank, member FDIC. It's a 7-round Chiefs mock draft edition. We are going to make every single pick that the Chiefs currently possess right now. Here to help me do it's my buddy. Find him on Twitter at Maddie_KCSN. Matthew Lane, hi.
We aren't making a single pick. You guys listening and watching right now, you guys watching right now are the ones that are making the pick. If you were watching on YouTube right now, you will get to vote on every single one of these picks as we come up to them. So that is where we're going. We aren't making a single pick. I got to say, I'm sorry we're late, guys. We had to postpone this for a fake sport. Some fake sport was making us watch. Yeah, y'all waited. Yeah. Some fake sport took over this time slot, so we had to push it back 2 minutes at Ken's request.
Yeah, there's no business getting in the way of that game. Because 95% of the people hanging out right now care about this. Unlike you, Matthew, you're kind of the loser in this scenario. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching. Appreciate everybody hanging out with us. A lot of people funneling in after that K-State game probably need something to kind of cool them down a little bit. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this mock draft. Off the top, I think the initial strategy we kind of talked about as is. As this team is, they don't make another move from now until the draft. And honestly, I mean, I don't know how many moves. Like, obviously, there's one glaring need, one glaring position, Matthew. But outside of that, I don't think that there is a ton of, I don't know how many big moves this team's going to actually make. It's probably going to be vet minimum deals in depth.
I mean, like, we don't need to go down this path again, right? Like, we're all sitting here waiting for wide receiver news to come through the Chiefs, whether that is we all want it to be DeAndre Hopkins or something else. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to approach this mock draft as if the Chiefs do nothing but maybe sign Marvin Jones, just some kind of random veteran to eat snaps to bring a veteran presence, but nobody that changes the strategy at all. So we're going in like the wide receiver room, like the team is relatively set. I will say, I still think the Chiefs make a move. I mean, come on, look what Brett Veach has done at wide receiver since he's been in charge. Look at what this team does going into every draft and fixing holes. I really have a hard time seeing they go into the draft this way, but here we are. So let's play the game this way. Let's play the game like the Chiefs have their roster, 99% set heading into the draft, and this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. That's kind of the approach that we're going to have today. I think still, though, as far as position of need, wide receiver sits atop. So do you go in and do you address the wide receiver position at the top of the draft? Do you feel like you have to? Like if the draft was tomorrow, are the Chiefs hemmed into the wide receiver spot and they're forced to take it?
Yes, 100%. If they don't make any moves, they have to. It's if you go through and dig through kind of all the metrics, you need to draft, not need to, but drafting a wide receiver in round one or round two is significantly more likely to hit than round three. And then that is another significant drop till day three. You want to draft a wide receiver in round one or two. They are about the same in terms of the hit rate. There's a little bit more volatility, if that's a word, going in round two than there is in round one. But that's still, you have plenty of options in round two historically. Or like, that's what the data says. The issue is this wide receiver class, not great. So I don't know if you can sit around to the end of round two and hope to hit the higher end of that variance in round two. So yeah, if this is the Chiefs wide receiver room, I think they're pigeonholed into taking a wide receiver at the end of round one.
That's the scenario that's been presented to the Chiefs today, where, you know, the wide receiver market's not particularly, like, it's not the elite wide receiver class. However, there's four that kind of get, you know, clustered together as round one candidates. You've got Jalin Hyatt, you've got Zay Flowers, you've got Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and you got Jordan Addison. Those are largely considered the top four. Here's the scenario, and this is, you know what, this is a mock draft. It's not a perfect exercise. Let's say the Chiefs know that they have to get up to pick 20 to secure Zay Flowers. Or they can sit and they think that they can get Jalin Hyatt just sitting at 31. Now, just so you know, Zay Flowers requires you to trade pick 31 and 63 to get all the way up to 20. If you sit pat, you get to keep your second round pick. So the options that were really presented when we're doing this exercise, Jaxon Smith-Njigba's gone. Jordan Addison's not in striking range either. Matthew, these are the two scenarios at the wide receiver position. Are we going to even listen to what else is available at, or are we just going to just deal with the wide receiver position? And
okay, we're at pick 20. Is Quentin Johnson also available?
Quentin Johnson is available as well. My apologies.
So if Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnson are there, I might kind of ride this out and see if I can maybe only trade up to 24, 25, 26 and get one of those two rather than going all the way up to 20, because going all the way up to 20 is going to take a little bit more draft capital than I feel comfortable trading up for this position at this time.
So you do not want to use your second round pick to trade up?
No, I would lay it out another few picks and just see if Quentin Johnson or Zay Flowers is there. Like I said, at what, like pick 25, I think would change it from a second round to a third round.
Yes, you're right.
So that'd be my goal.
We're not going to trade up to 20. And I've got bad news, Matthew. Quentin Johnston and Zay Flowers have fallen off.
Both gone.
They've both gone. So now you're stuck with Jalin Hyatt or another position if you stick at 31.
I mean, you don't want to. Okay, here it is. This chat. This is going to be up to you, chat. So I'm going to make the case for Hyatt to start. Then we'll talk about some other players here. The Chiefs don't have any wide receivers. The Chiefs have no reliability at the wide receiver position. Kadarius Toney can't play three games in a row without getting hurt. Like, you literally can't play three games in a row without being hurt. Sky Moore was only trusted to do jet sweeps, essentially. Now, can those guys make a big step going into next year? Absolutely, they can. We hope they can. The Chiefs hope they can. What is the guarantee that that's going to happen, though? What's the guarantee that Toney won't get hurt? What's the guarantee that Sky Moore is going to make that step and it's going to happen early on? So they need somebody else to go with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is already a highly volatile player on his own. Almost wins them the Bengals game single-handedly with his play at wide receiver. Did he even play in the Super Bowl outside of completely running a poor route and then misjudging where the ball was going to be, right? So you can't trust the current wide receiver room. You need to get more talent. You need to get more bodies in there. Jalin Hyatt's the best wide receiver left. He's also the guy that's going to give you the best deep threat in the class. He's going to stretch the field. And theoretically, that's going to make Toney, that's going to make Moore, that's going to make MVS, that's going to make Kelsey all more dangerous because he's opening up more space for them.
I think, you know, Hyatt's the one that makes sense. I mean, and if you look at wide receiver, I mean, if you want to take a risk, you're looking at it maybe catching a Rashee Rice out of SMU in the second round, maybe a Cedric Tillman, A.T. Perry, a Marvin Mims. I mean, available, and I'll just give you the players available, Matthew. You've got Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah. You've got Darnell Wright, the tackle out of Tennessee. Darnell Washington out of Georgia. Those are just a few of those options that you've kind of got at your disposal. Felix Anadike Uzomah is available as well. So, are we sticking? Are we hemmed into receiver here? Or do we want to try to go edge or a different position?
We're going to give the chat options. So Hyatt's one option. You get somebody on the board. Who would you, outside of Jalin Hyatt, who's the next person that you would have, or who's the first person you have on the board here? Let's just get some names out there and a quick little case for them.
Yeah. So let me get back to this board here. I'd look at Dalton Kincaid because I think he's another, you know, dynamic pass catching option. Obviously there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of redundancy there with Travis Kelce, but I think you got, you know, two pass catchers. I'd still consider Darnell Washington there too. Darnell Wright though. Let's give him Jalin Hyatt, Darnell White, or Darnell Wright or Dalton Kincaid as the three options. We'll roll with that, and then we'll
get this poll up for you guys. So you're gonna have Darnell Wright, right tackle out of Tennessee, has had one of the best processes leading through the final season, his senior year play at Tennessee, going into the Senior Bowl, then into the Combine. That's right tackle to go across with Juwan Taylor. So you get your two tackles set there on either side. Jalin Hyatt, you add a wide receiver to the room. This is a guy with speed that can stretch the field, add some other playmaking ability into the wide receiver room. Or Dalton Kincaid, somebody that's probably going to win, kind of be the successor to Travis Kelce, win short, win intermediate, and kind of hopefully provide you maybe a little bit more stability than Jalin Hyatt does, although he kind of wins in the same area as all the other guys. And you guys, throw it in the chat what you're thinking. I think we should have a poll coming out for you guys in a second. And who would you go with, Kent?
So I think I'd probably go best player available, and I'd go and draft Darnell Wright. And obviously we're doing this poll very quickly on the fly, but we do have some results here. And it's very comfortably Darnell Wright, the tackle out of Tennessee, has very comfortably made himself. And I'll be honest with you. Look, I get the desire to grab a wide receiver, the lack of aggression that we didn't take, you know, with trading up, I think kind of bit us, it kind of left us with one receiving option. Receivers were falling off the board early. I'll be honest with you. I think the run on wide receivers might start early in the real draft, because I think Jackson Smith and Jigba is continuing to push himself up those boards. I think he's going to be in consideration earlier than we think. Darnell Wright's not a bad place to fall back on, if I'm being honest. I like that offensive line, Matthew.
I like the offensive line very, very much. I think the offensive line is very good. I'm already pre-nervous for what this wide receiver room is going to look like, though, right? Like, I mean, we're going to try to talk ourselves into a receiving option here at the end of round two, I would assume, or maybe we'll go a different direction, but I think you've invested a lot in this offensive line, and you can never go wrong investing in your offensive line when you have a stud quarterback. I just think at some point in time, you're kind of running into the issue that you're spilling all of your spending, all of your resources into one position group, that you're neglecting the defense, you're neglecting the wide receiver room right now. And I think that's the path we're kind of treading water going down.
What I kind of find interesting is, as a fan base, we're all freaking out about receiver and we don't draft the receiver. I think that's a little bit interesting. It might be more of an indictment on what people feel about Jalin Hyatt than some of these other options.
I think he's the hardest one to buy into for everyone. He's the one that a consensus is going to be hard to buy into is going to be Jalin Hyatt, just because there is a very specific skill set. People, I think, see him in the same light as they saw McCole Hardman, and I don't think they're similar players at all. But I think that's a little bit of a fear that Chiefs fans have. So that's what just the route I see it. But all right, on to round two.
Yeah, so the Chiefs have Darnell Wright, the tackle out of Tennessee, with pick 31 at pick 63. I feel like you got to go receiver. I feel like you have to go and grab a receiver. I don't think there's a ton there's a ton of wiggle room here. After, you know, any farther down, I think you're not feeling it. So here's some options for you, Matthew. We're going to go Tyler Scott out of Cincinnati. Rashee Rice, the wide receiver out of SMU. We'll go Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma, A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest. Give me three of those guys that you're a fan of.
Oh, God. Okay. Just in general, for the Chiefs, I think Rashee Rice makes the most sense because he provides a little, not a ton of size, but a little bit more size. It coming to 6 foot, 200-ish pounds. He's a guy that's proven to win as a contested catch guy. The problem is I question if he can beat man coverage at all at the NFL level. He really lacks some burst. He doesn't have high end speed. So I'm looking at where the Chiefs need help. They need someone that can beat man coverage reliably. And I don't know if that's Rashee Rice, but out of all those guys you named, I don't know if I see a single guy that's also going to beat man coverage consistently, right? I don't know. That's why I get worried about not taking a wide receiver in round one. I don't think any of these guys are going to consistently beat man coverage, and that's what they need. However, the receiving room's lacking. So yeah, Rashee Rice, I think Marvin Mims has probably the most upside of this group. He's younger. He's a good athlete. He's not incredibly small, but he's not a bigger wide receiver, but he's kind of more Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney size. I think he's got the most upside of the group. So like just purely upside, I would take him. I think Rashee Rice is probably the better fit of that group though.
So we're going to go Rashee Rice, Marvin Mims, and A.T. Perry. Does that work?
Is there any edges worth mentioning here? Because like I don't love the value for those guys. But I think,
well, this is a good conversation to have because you know you do have a Derek Hall and a Zach Harrison, but I think you know you've talked about it, Maddie. This is a draft where I think Steve Spagnuolo defensive ends are going to be. They're going to have plenty of options. I think the move is to you know go ahead and just take the receiver now. And make that move. So we're going to go between Rashee Rice, Marvin Mims, or A.T. Perry here. So get your votes in. A poll is up. We're going to kind of keep an eye on that one here. We're going to be monitoring this situation. But I get what you're saying. Like defensive end makes a lot of sense. But
my point is that if you're not going to be pigeonholed into wide receiver in round one, then why are we in round two? Is my only counterpoint. Like if I'm going to force myself to take a wide receiver, give me the more talented guy in round one rather than doing it in round two.
We have a clear winner in this poll. And I do get the sentiment, Matthew, but with the 63rd pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs have selected wide receiver A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest. That is a very interesting one for me too. I would have gone Rashee Rice if I was doing this, but we're leaving it open to the people. And A.T. Perry has been selected. What's the elevator pitch on A.T. Perry, Matthew?
I mean, you're getting a big, tall, he's not even that big. He's just really tall and long, outside wide receiver. He comes out of that slow mesh system at Wake. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve to dealing with press. But once he gets into his route, once he gets past the first 5 yards, he's probably, I think, kind of the best vertical threat of the bigger wide receivers. He does a really good job with his body control. He's got the ability to stack wide receivers. I just really like how he gets into his routes after the line of scrimmage. It's just the issue is his college offense made his releases on the line of scrimmage free. Like it was just not even translatable at all to the NFL because of the offensive system. I think you're going to have to deal with some issues of can he accelerate fast enough? What does he look like when corners get really physical with them? So there's a little bit of a hurdle there, but like overall, he's a really good contested catch, big bodied wide receiver that can win vertically as well as, you know, with the contested catch.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? This is BJ Kissel, founder and CEO of KC Sports Network. With Kansas City on full display for the NFL draft, what better way to celebrate our hometown than by supporting a charity that helps kids with special needs in our own backyard? Children's Center for the Visually Impaired will host the CCVI Trolley Run Sunday, April 30th to change the lives of students who are blind or have low vision. Now in its 35th year, the CCVI Trolley Run is a 4-mile race that finishes on the Country Club Plaza the Sunday after the NFL draft. This fundraiser is open to everyone and no athletic ability is required. Enjoy free beer after the race and snacks from local restaurants. We promise the KC community will be on full display. Visit trolleyrun.org and use code KCSN to get a few extra bucks off your registration. That's trolleyrun.org.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? This is BJ Kissel, founder and CEO of KC Sports Network. With Kansas City on full display for the NFL draft, what better way to celebrate our hometown than by supporting a charity that helps kids with special needs in our own backyard? Children's Center for the Visually Impaired will host the CCVI Trolley Run Sunday, April 30th, to change the lives of students who are blind or have low vision. Now in its 35th year, the CCVI Trolley Run is a four-mile race that finishes on the Country Club Plaza the Sunday after the NFL draft. This fundraiser is open to everyone and no athletic ability is required. Enjoy free beer after the race and snacks from local restaurants. We promise the KC community will be on full display. Visit trolleyrun.org and use code KCSN to get a few extra bucks off your registration. That's trolleyrun.org.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching. Appreciate everybody that's hanging out with us. We're doing an interactive seven round mock draft. You guys, the power is in your hands. The voting is in your hands. We're kind of guiding it a little bit. Obviously, we're not gonna give you 264 players to vote on. But right now, you've seen Darnell Wright, the tackle out of Tennessee, go 31st to the Kansas City Chiefs. They followed it up with wide receiver A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest. I think you got to go edge here, Matthew. And some luck has fallen upon us.
I want to be clear. I don't want to pigeonhole us into only one position this time. I think the chat would also agree with that. So let's get more than just edges, though. We can start with edges, but let's get more with just edges. More than just edges.
I think the best player available is an edge. If I'm being honest. So here's the best player available that makes some sense. You've got interior offensive lineman Luke Whippler out of Ohio State. You've got Illinois safety Sidney Brown. You've got Ohio State defensive end Zach Harrison available as well. Those are the top three players that are available in this draft. I think there's a clear-cut one for me. I know you're not the biggest Zach Harrison fan, though.
I mean, okay, I don't think Zach Harrison's available here. I think this is a mock draft simulator, not caught up to the current times. But if he was here, I think this is a fine pick. I don't love it. I'm not going to sprint around. The guy has 11 sacks or whatever in 4 years playing with the best defensive line coaches in college football while continuously getting single blocked, right? Like, I just don't think he's a good pass rusher, and I don't think there's a lot more meat left on the bone. However, he can come in and eat snaps right away as a run defender, give you effort, pocket push as a pass rusher. Like, it's a completely fine pick at the end of the third round if he's there. I think it seems really unlikely that he falls this far. Are there any defensive tackles worth looking at?
We can look at a defensive tackle here in a second. Let's pull that up here real quick. Let's look at, we got a Zach Pickens, a Jaquelin Waugh. You've got Kobe Turner. You got Mike Morris, Moro Ojomo, Keandre Coburn. Those are your defensive tackles. I feel like you can get one.
I actually don't like Jacqueline Roy, whatever it is for LSU. He's a younger guy, only 3 years in a draft class that has a lot of like senior players. I think he's a little bit younger. He's played zero tech. He's played three tech. I think he's a guy that's only going to get better. I'm not going to sit here and slam the table and say he's the only option, but I actually really like him. And if I'm sitting here looking, we said the Chiefs haven't made any more rooms. Derek Nnadi's your only nose tackle on this team right now. Derek Nnadi and Danny Shelton, right? if I could get a nose tackle that maybe doesn't have to leave the field for every single pass rushing opportunity, I might be intrigued in that. But that is, you know, I'll let you debunk that.
I think you can wait a little bit on defensive tackle. I think, you know, like we're saying, there's no chance that he's there. Zach Harrison. I mean, I think that's the way the draft goes a little bit sometimes too. And we haven't had great options available to us in earlier rounds. I think you give yourself a great option available to you here at 96. I do agree this is on the lower end of where he'll be selected. I think the traits are great. However, if you listen to you talk to him, I think you would have expected him hit there at 96. So I think he's an entirely reasonable pick here. And I think because, you know, I think I'm looking at the poll here. It's very clear with the 96th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs are selecting, or 95th pick, the Chiefs are selecting Zach Harrison, the defensive end, out of the Ohio State University. So, Chiefs, again, Darnell Wright, first round pick, pick 31. There wasn't wide receivers really available to the Chiefs outside of Jalin Hyatt. Wide receiver A.T. Perry is the pick at 63, trying to make sure to address the wide receiver position. And defensive end Zach Harrison is the pick at 95. So we are into the fourth round. And I think this is where, you know, I think you've kind of got a little bit more flexibility. Obviously, the Chiefs have addressed the three big positions that, you know, they entered the offseason with that you wanted to make sure that they took care of: wide receiver, edge, offensive tackle. So they've all made sure to grab three guys in the top 100 picks now. Board's a little bit more open here. So do we just try to just grab the best player available? I can tell you some of the players that are kind of highly regarded on this board. Or do you want to look at a different position? Do you want to look at defensive tackle?
I mean, you can show me some, you can tell me who's a little bit of available. I mean, this team desperately needs defensive tackles, and I think you have to invest in wide receiver again pretty early with going with A.T. Perry as your only guy. Like, I think you have to double dip here pretty fast too. Like, those are the two positions that I would be looking at, but like, you can give me the best available guys as well.
Let's I think there's some correlation here. So Parker Washington, the wide receiver out of Penn State, he's there, he's available. Ronnie Bell, the wide receiver out of Michigan's there. If you're looking at defensive tackle, you're looking at a Moro Ojomo, you're looking at a Mike Morris, a Keandre Coburn. All those guys are still available. Best players available. You've got some running backs: Sean Tucker, Dwayne McBride, Kendre Miller. I think Roschon Johnson as well too.
Okay. All right. So here's, I'm gonna. You said what wide receiver were either of these the wide receivers that you mentioned? Did you mention a Rakeem Jarrett or a Trey Palmer?
Neither of them are available.
Neither of them are available. Yikes. Okay. Okay. Parker Washington will be the name that I'll put out there.
Okay.
I think that's one guy that can go into the poll. Parker Washington out of Penn State. He's a slot only wide receiver, not real big, a possession guy, not a burner. I think there's a little bit of overlap with Sky Moore, right? So like, I understand why he's not the perfect fit. I just think at this point of the draft, that's a really good value. Who's some other names that you want to put into this poll with Parker Washington?
Let's add a defensive tackle. What do we think about
I did not like any of them. So that's all like any of them.
Okay.
I think we missed the boat. I think you're now just drafting a one and a half down plugger later in the draft than anybody that was still left.
I'll go Roschon Johnson, the running back out of Texas. I think this is a sweet little pocket to play in the running back position. Roschon Johnson doesn't have a ton of tread taken off his tires. And he's a dense, powerful, explosive running back. He complimented Bijan Robinson extremely well. So we'll throw Parker Washington, Roschon Johnson.
Can I quickly ask one more?
Yes.
Is Luke Schoonmaker available at tight end?
Yes, Luke Schoonmaker is available.
Put Luke Schoonmaker in there, tight end out of Michigan. Here's a guy that's gotten a lot better as a blocker throughout his time with Michigan. He's a really good athlete for the position. Anyone that's watched Michigan has seen that they are very rough in the passing game, right? They cannot throw the ball very well, but there is a guy that is open a lot. That's Schoonmaker running across the middle of the field. I don't know if he's like a perfect one-to-one to replace Travis Kelce as a elite tight end, but I think there's definitely starting tight end potential there with him.
I think so too. I like what you've got here. So the options are Parker Washington, the wide receiver out of Penn State, Roschon Johnson, the running back out of Texas, and Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end out of Michigan. And early returns, it's a blowout. It is an absolute blowout. with the 122nd pick in the 2023 fake NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs have selected Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end out of Michigan. I really like that one. I think that's a fantastic pick for the Chiefs. I think that's about, you know, like we're talking about, you know, maybe catching a little value here. I think you might have to take him at 196 if you're the, or at 95, I'm sorry, if you're the Chiefs, because I don't think he's going to be there at 122. I think he goes somewhere in between those two. But I think that's a great pickup. I think that's
my hope is this, it's a good tight end class, right? Like we all agree with that. Mm-hmm. I would skip it over in round one. I would probably skip it in round two. And I would see who's there at 95, whether that's a Schoonmaker, a Laporta, a Tucker Kraft. I like all three of those guys in round three. If they're all available, I don't mind waiting till round four, right? Like it all depends on the board, but like, I really like those three guys as late day two draft picks. I have a hard time seeing seven tight ends gone in the first 2 days of an NFL draft. That doesn't seem likely, right? So one of them should be there. I like them all at the end of round three, but if multiple are available, I'm okay with seeing if one might slide into very four. So like, I think this is a reasonable spot for Schoonmaker, probably like the very bottom floor. He most likely won't get this low, but like, I think one of those three has a chance to get down here.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you are watching this. Leave some comments, tell us what you think so far. We are doing a live 7-round mock draft. We're letting you guys vote and make those decisions. So far, Darnell Wright, tackle out of Tennessee, A.T. Perry, wide receiver out of Wake Forest, Zach Harrison, edge out of Ohio State, Luke Schoonmaker, tight end out of Michigan are what we have so far. So looking at, you know, we're here at 134. What do you think? What any positions you want to look at? We should continue to look best player available. What do you think?
But I think the defensive tackle room is not going to get any better, right? So, like, I really do think at D tackle, you're just going to be waiting a little bit, trying to pick up a guy that's going to eat up snaps later on. So, if there's a really good value at wide receiver, if there's a good value at safety, I wouldn't hate those positions. But outside of that, just kind of tell me the best available, and then we'll go from there.
You know, you've got a Jonathan Mingo receiver. You got a Ronnie Bell.
Hold on. You just piqued my interest. I think there's a lot of overlap with Mingo and A.T. Perry just from where they're going to win and where they're going to align. But I don't think that Jonathan Mingo is that much worse of a prospect than A.T. Perry. And if I'm getting him, you know, almost like 60 picks later, 70 picks later, put him out there. I think this is a big, fast wide receiver, can run after the catch. He's not as developed on the vertical plane as an A.T. Perry is, but he's still got that size. He's shown more ability to beat press. Like, I think he should go into the pool. I'm not saying he's the pick, just put him in the pool.
All right, I'm going to put Jonathan Mingo in the pool, and I'm going to throw out a Jake Haener at the quarterback position too, because the Chiefs, they have one backup quarterback currently to Patrick LeVon Mahomes. I mean, Chris Olakuran from South Dakota State, I believe, is still technically on the roster too, but he hasn't seen the light of day yet to this point. Jake Haener, I think, you know, this is an interesting day three quarterback class. There's a couple guys I'm kind of keeping my eye on that can be, you know, developmental quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks. Jake Haener, I think, you know, kind of makes a lot of sense. A highly productive collegiate player, played in a pass heavy offense, got to sling the ball around the yard a little bit. Shows ability to layer, really strong command of his offense, able to get the ball out to the flat when something's not there. And, you know, he's really decisive and quick to get the ball out, protects the football well. I think he's a guy that can profile really well as a backup quarterback. And I think we're going to have to look at trying to address the quarterback position in day three of this draft as we're making these decisions here. So we're going Jonathan Mingo, Jake Haener, and give us another player. What position would you like us to look at, Matthew?
Who's the best edge available? Just throw whoever, you know, you see as the best edge available there on the top.
Isaiah McGuire out of Missouri is still available as well. So okay. I think this is about
a lot of crossover with Zach Harrison, but okay.
Yes, I think so too. But if you're looking at Steve Spagnuolo defensive ends, if you're looking at, you know, guys that fit that profile, as Isaiah McGuire is absolutely one of those guys. He's definitely more tools than he is production at this point, but he's another swing. It's akin to, you know, a Josh Kando type swing where you're betting on the athletic traits, the physical traits, and you're hoping everything kind of pieces together from there. So we're going to go with Jonathan Mingo, Jake Haener, and Isaiah McGuire. We are letting everybody make their selections right now. We'll see what kind of results. I'm looking at the results quickly, and once you know
I see a lot of requests for Yaya Diaby. I don't think he's available on the mock draft right here. I think that combine kind of pushed him up a little bit. Someone takes a flyer on him a little bit earlier based on the just how good that combine performance was for him and the explosion. So we're gonna say he's off the board right now.
Well, and the pick is in with the 134th pick in the 2023 fake NFL draft. The Kansas City Chiefs have selected wide receiver Jonathan Mingo out of Ole Miss. Okay. I do like the idea of double dipping. I like that a lot. I think that's really smart. And I could see the Chiefs doing that, especially if they keep 10 picks. You know, anything's on the table for them. Anything's on the table for them. I'm going to do something for the people here, because at pick 166, I've seen a lot of people clamoring for Keandre Coburn, the defensive tackle out of Texas. So we're going to throw his name into the mix. We're going to throw Gerard Clark as well from Coastal Carolina. He's a lot bigger. He's a massive human. Like, he's just a giant space eater. He's a two down defensive tackle. We're going to throw him into the mix as well. And we're going
to... Are we in round five? We're in round five right now?
We're in round five right now.
Okay, what... let's see. Can we also add an athletic edge rusher to it? Let's just say somebody that... Just an athletic edge rusher. Give somebody with a little bit of speed. Jose Ramirez, if he's available, he's a little... Okay, what about this? What about BJ Thompson? He's a little light for Steve Spagnuolo, but he's gotten up into the mid-240s for his pro day, so he's clearly still getting bigger. He's still light. He's not a run defender, but we're just talking about one of the freakiest athletes at the edge position in the entire draft class. Okay. He's only gotten better throughout his time with colleges. Gives the people a little bit of a speed option, and we've talked about it. It looks like maybe Steve Spagnuolo, I'm not saying he's throwing his preferences out the window, but it seems like he's more willing to change in Kansas City than he was previously with the Giants. So I just wonder if he's an option out there.
Yeah. So we're going with a couple interior defensive linemen. You've got Keandre Coburn out of Texas. You've got Gerard Clark out of Coastal Carolina. You got BJ Thompson. Maddie's trying to triple dip here at the edge position with 10 of their picks. It is very tight here, but I am going to make the call officially. This is the closest one we've had, but it is time to make that decision. With the 166th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs have selected Keandre Coburn, the defensive tackle. Good pick. I think that is a good pick, too.
I think it's a good pick. I think once you missed out on like the Zach Pickens, Gervin Dexter, Jacklin Roy at the end of round three, I don't think there's any rush to go take this plugging defensive tackle. Because like you said, Gerard Clark's there, DJ Dale's there, PJ Mustafa's there. Like, you have a handful of run-stuffing defensive nose tackles, and I might like Coburn more or Clark more than these other guys, but they're all relatively similar. We missed out on the potential three down nose tackle, so you don't need to panic and pick the neck, you know, the top guy there. Just let the board fall to you. Get the better, you know, whatever nose tackle you want with a good value rather than rushing.
All right. Pick 178. Looking here a little bit. Any positions that stand out? Do we want to go back and look at some quarterback options here? Do you want to throw some quarterback options into the mix?
Throw a quarterback in there. We don't have three edge rushers yet, right? I think we only have Zach.
We have. You're right. You're right. Sorry, my bad.
Right. So I didn't say I wasn't triple dipping. I was coming back in for. I was getting somebody that could actually maybe rush the passer, since I don't know if Harrison can.
Because we didn't draft Isaiah McGuire. That's a good point. Okay.
Right. Give me an athletic edge, a quarterback. You can choose the player. Athletic edge, a quarterback, and then best.
I'll tell you what.
Running back.
We're gonna throw BJ Thompson into the mix. Thompson in the mix.
There we go. Give him another go.
He survived. 12
picks later.
Yeah, he survived. Clayton Toon's the quarterback out of Houston. So a guy that is another, he's got a ton of experience he's had a ton of experience at the collegiate level. Actually, surprising linear speed. He was able to use his legs a lot, kind of scrambling, but he's really is more linear speed. He's not making anybody miss in space. But highly productive passer, showed the ability to layer passes to all three levels of the field. Played in a very open offense, that air raid offense out of Houston. And so, there's a lot to like about him. I think there's some parallels to Shane Bushell, but I think Clayton Toon's a better prospect than Shane Bushell. So he's a guy I would like to get into the room. So Clayton Toon, BJ Thompson, and what do we think? A running back
or safety? Do you think the Chiefs need a safety at this point, right? Because if you're looking, they have two veteran safety. Mike Edwards is only on a 1-year deal, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so do we want to look at safety just in case he's not here for a long time, or do you think they're probably good at safety for a while and you'd rather put a running back in here?
I think it's worth throwing another safety into the mix. We could throw a Trey Dean out of Florida in the mix. What do we think
about
that?
Ronnie Hickman or
Ronnie Hickman action? Fine, we'll throw. Give us the elevator pitch on Ronnie Hickman.
Big box safety, very smart. He's done his best work for Ohio State playing in the box. He helped get the guys set up. He's going to play the run game very, very well. He's got the size, the physicality that he can go up against tight ends and man coverage. He's fine working in deep half stuff. He's a risk taker. Like, right, this guy is one of the reasons that Ohio State gave up some big plays to Michigan, because he takes risks. He looks at the ball. He'll take the eye candy, but that also can come, you know, means making plays underneath and stuff like that. So he's just a guy that I like as a potential box safety to play with the Brian Cook, to play with the Justin Reed, so they're not always having to do it. Mike Edwards can fulfill that role for now, but if it's only a 1-year deal, I think he's a guy you jump in thereafter.
Well, with the 178th pick in the 2023 fake NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs have selected B.J. Thompson, the pass rusher out of Stephen F. Austin. So a unique, you know, a little bit more.
Give me some life.
A little bit more light athletic pass rusher. They get him at pick 178. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, your home for the best coverage on your favorite local teams. Whether you're a Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, KC Current, K-State, KU, or Mizzou fan, we've got you covered. Find KCSN on your favorite podcast platform. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hey, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button if you're watching. By the way, we do a book, a 300-page book of Chiefs-specific draft content, the KCSN Draft Guide. It releases here in 2 weeks, April 5th. You're going to get 225-plus write-ups on prospects and how they fit the Chiefs. I believe every player that we have already drafted has a write-up in the draft guide, if I remember correctly. So make sure that you do that. You can hit the link in the description of this show. It's right down here. Or if you're listening as well, you'll be able to find it in the description of the show. You get it for $12.99 and you get 3 months to the KCSN Substack when you do it. Okay, so the Chiefs have the last pick in the sixth round, pick 217. And I'm still going to keep throwing quarterbacks out. I'm going to throw Clayton Tune is still there. Clayton Tune is still held on. So we're going to throw Clayton Tune into the mix still. We are going to go to the running back position as well. Do you think Evan Hull is going to be there this late?
This is probably the bottom end, right? Like, I think he had a pretty good pro day. I think you're seeing a guy that's a good enough. He's an NFL caliber athlete that's caught a hell of a lot of footballs.
Like, yeah, he's probably gone. He's probably gone. How about a generic Prince? Do we want to throw generic?
Yeah, you can put a generic Prince in there. Xavier Valade, if you like him more. If you want to get real wild with it, I don't know if we think Hunter Lupke is going to be there. I'm just trying to pick out random run. It's not a running back. It's a fullback.
I know. We're going to do this. We're going to make some things. I think Hunter Lupke could still be there. We'll see.
Okay.
So we're going to go Clayton Tune, the quarterback out of Houston. We are going to go Denaric Prince, the running back out of Tulsa. And we're going to go Hunter Lupke, the fullback out of North Dakota State. So Lepke is, you know, he's a traditional fullback, but he's kind of got a little bit more juice check to him than you would think, because he's a guy that can track the football a little bit better than people realize. There's some plays over his shoulder.
I just want to say one thing. We already took Luke Schoonmaker to play tight end. You have Noah Gray, who's already this like H-back move, like sniffer tight end. Like, I do wonder how much use you can get out of a Hunter Lupke in this offense when you have so many other young tight ends already. He's essentially going to be just a fullback on this roster now. The way this is shaken out, he's just a fullback.
I still think you need to go grab a backup quarterback. You need to get another backup quarterback into this room. That's the thing I keep looking at. It's Shane Buechele or behind Patrick Mahomes. I don't really like that. So I don't know.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. You need a quarterback. I don't love Clayton Tune.
Well, it doesn't matter because I'm going to go ahead and call this one.
You can call it.
With the 217th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs have selected Denerick Prince, the running back out of Tulsa. So they've went and got another running back. Okay. It was very, very close between him and Lepke. Just so you know.
Okay, that makes sense. I like that pick a little bit, but like I said, if you didn't have Schoonmaker already, Lepke makes more sense because he can do not necessarily true tight end things, but you can let Noah Gray be your second tight end. Lepke can play some of these H-back roles, but if you've taken Schoonmaker, you're probably expecting him to at least push or eat into Noah Gray snaps as a true tight end. That means that the trickle-down effect doesn't leave a lot of space for Lepke. So like that's why I want to do it. Do you want to run down all of our picks so far for everybody that's come in late, and then we'll do these last two?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, everybody that's been hanging out. So you selected the votes. And by the way, you guys are all voting for all these. So the 31st pick in the draft was Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. The 63rd pick was A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest, the wide receiver. The 95th pick was Zach Harrison, the edge out of Ohio State. The 122nd pick, tight end Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan. Pick 134, Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver out of Mississippi. 166, defensive tackle Keandre Coburn, the defensive lineman out of Texas. 178, B.J. Thompson, the edge out of Stephen F. Austin. Pick 217 just now, Denerick Prince, running back out of Tulsa. The Chiefs have pick 249 and 250. They are going back-to-back on this one. So that's kind of fun. I can't wait for that during the real draft. I hope they kind of keep both of those positions, honestly.
Okay. I would like for one of these spots. Okay, one, I would like two things. Or actually, just one thing. I want interior offensive lineman in the pool at the very least.
I do, too.
At the very least.
I do, too. And do we think Jordan McFadden's going to be there?
Do I think he's short. He played at Jordan McFadden played left tackle at Clemson. He's really short, so he probably won't play tackle in the NFL. Decent arm length, decent size. He's just short. I think though, if a team likes him, they might try to transition him to center. I've heard a lot of buzz about him being a center, and it's not a strong center class. I don't know. I do know the Chiefs met with Anthony Bradford at LSU, who's played tackle and interior offensive lineman. I also really like Antonio Mafi, a guard out of UCLA. If either one of those are available, I would like them into the pool.
Mafi is not. Anthony Bradford is available. Antonio Mafi is absolutely not. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go Anthony Bradford, tackle experience, guard ability. That's an Andy Reid special. We are going to go Jordan McFadden, who is a little bit squattier.
Interior. Flexibility.
I'm going to throw another backup quarterback into the mix this time.
How are you going to feel when a quarterback gets beat out by interior offensive lineman next?
Fine. I'm going to
do it. You can do it.
I'm going to throw my guy Aiden O'Connell into the mix. Quarterback out of Purdue. He's a guy that I think processes the game pretty well. He gets the most out of his tools. He's a high character guy. He's beloved by his teammates. He's kind of follows a lot of those cliches, first in, last out. He's a worker. We were watching him just by himself working, on the play calls for the next practice. The thing with him is the arm talent. The arm talent is not great. It borders on not good enough to stick. But everything else about Aiden O'Connell, I think, is very likable, very quality. But it doesn't matter because with the 249th pick in the 2023 NFL draft, Kansas City Chiefs select interior offensive lineman Anthony Bradford.
Let's go.
So good job on that one, Matthew. All right, there's one more pick. The Chiefs pick
Okay, so go ahead and put Aiden O'Connell back in the draft pool for Kent.
I'm Aiden O'Connell.
Okay.
Agent.
Okay. All right. What about a cornerback, right? Like I'm looking at some cornerbacks and like when you get to this late of a draft of a mock draft simulator, it's kind of hard. You kind of got to pick and choose who you think is going to be there. I don't know who's going to be available, who's not of some of these. So I'll give some names. You can tell me if you think they're definitely gone. Rejdon Wright out of Oregon State.
Probably gone.
Okay. Hold on. Let's go with Corey Trice, corner out of Purdue.
Probably there. What about I'll offer you a Miles Brooks.
Okay. If we think he's there. Yeah, his testing wasn't great, so he might be available.
I think Miles Brooks is the one that makes sense to me personally.
Okay, so put Miles Brooks in there. Yeah, okay. Miles Brooks, a big physical press corner that has flashed a lot of good ball skills to kind of elevated his way up through, you know, from Stephen F. Austin up to, or Austin Peay up to Louisiana Tech after that. So put him in there for it just to get another depth player at the cornerback position on the outside.
All right, so we've got Aiden O'Connell, Miles Brooks. Should we throw a linebacker into the mix?
Ooh, what position? You guys, you in the chat, real quick, tell me a position. Like the first time I see a position repeated, that's the position I'm going to give you a player. We do have a safety. Do you want to draft a second safety, Jay? If that's your answer, we can do it. I'll put him in the poll if you want a second safety. I'm waiting for the chat to tell us who to go with here.
Someone safety. Safety it is. I've seen Brent and Jay both went safety first.
Okay, so they got two safeties on there. Let me see who I kind of like here. So we got a big physical box safety. So I'd be looking for more of a man corner safety. Jarvarius Owens out of Houston is a possibility. I think he can give you a few man-to-man coverage. It's really a lot of box safeties left. It feels a little like it overlaps a lot with Ronnie Hickman. Mm-hmm.
I think we should go linebacker personally, but
nobody wants a linebacker, buddy. I've seen a lot of wide receivers. People want a third wide receiver. They want a tall wide. We have A.T. Perry and Jonathan Mingo. That's a lot of height. Do we really need another tall wide receiver?
That's a lot of tall. All right. I'll throw this one out.
Uh-oh. Now we're getting real wild.
Okay. So we got Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback out of Purdue. We got Miles Brooks, the cornerback out of LSU. What's his name? Or what school? Miles Brooks, Louisiana Tech. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
I want to go DeMario Douglas, the wide receiver out of Liberty.
Okay. No, I will accept that because I was going to offer up Xavier Smith out of FAU, who Steve Smith keeps talking about every time he gets on Instagram Live. That was same thing. A slot receiver that has a little bit of speed that can be kind of, yeah, it's essentially a slot. Either way, we're looking at a slot wide receiver here, right? You got Aiden O'Connell, very smart backup quarterback. Miles Brooks, depth, physical outside boundary corner, showing ball skills and physicality. DeMario Douglas, really good athlete, just very undersized. He's going to be a slot wide receiver at the next level, but he should be able to create some separation.
All right, so there are your options, folks. Please, can we get a backup quarterback in here? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, listen, it's pick 250, right? If Aiden O'Connell's still on the board, I mean, you could still sign him, Kent.
All right, I'm calling it. With the 250th pick in the 2023 fake NFL draft, The Kansas City Chiefs have selected DeMario Douglas, the wide receiver out of Liberty. You know what the funny thing is we have drafted so many Shrine Bowl players.
Oh,
we have drafted so many Shrine Bowl players.
We did not. This was the people.
Yes, this was the people. And just so the people know, Darnell Wright, 31st pick in this draft. A.T. Perry, wide receiver out of Wake Forest, is pick number 63. Pick number 95 was Zach Harrison, the edge out of Ohio State. Pick 122, tight end Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan. Pick 134, wide receiver Jonathan Mingo out of Mississippi. Pick 166, Keandre Coburn, the defensive tackle out of Texas. Pick 178 is B.J. Thompson, the edge out of Stephen F. Austin. Pick 217 was Denaric Prince, the running back out of Tulsa. Pick 249, Anthony Bradford, interior offensive lineman out of LSU. And pick 250, DeMario Douglas, the wide receiver out of Liberty. Matthew, if the Chiefs rolled out of the draft with this, how would you feel?
Fine. Not great. Fine. I'm highly concerned about the wide receiver room still. Like, I like Mingo. I like A.T. Perry. I like there's potential there. I just don't think the Chiefs have enough reliability already. And I think both of those guys, while there's a good ceiling there, I don't think either one are like the safe lock in. This guy is going to be able to produce early. I actually think you pick two guys coming from college offenses that don't translate great to the NFL. And we're putting them in an Andy Reid system, which is already really hard for wide receivers to step into. So you're going from a slow mesh and you're going from the Lane Kiffin's like spread power running game and you're trying to get them on the field early to a wide receiver room that needs it, that scares me. However, slightly helped by Luke Schoonmaker, because I do think you might have a guy that can step in and play early. It's just going to require the Chiefs to go into a lot more heavy personnel, which we do this conversation every year. They're good in it, but do they want to live in it?
Really good offensive line now.
Yeah.
One of the best. I mean, they already have a good offensive line, but like, I think you get Darnell Wright at 31. You've got one of the best offensive lines in football pretty quickly. That's a really good group, I think. Zach Harrison, I like at 95, I think it's good value. I know Maddie doesn't like him, but...
No, it's fine. I think the value there is absolutely fine. This is right where a guy that plays 1.5 downs at defensive end should go.
Well, I like him. I think
he's Mike Data, but big.
Okay, that's a good football player.
With less pass rushing production.
Yet, we'll just wait till Joe Cullen gets his hands on him. I think I feel fine with it. It's not like my most favorite draft. We'll definitely be doing some more exercises where we're making the picks kind of on our own.
We'll come back and do this again too. We'll give the power back to the people. It's hard because I do know that we're nominating players for you guys and you guys have to choose from them, but we can't let you guys choose from the entire board, right? Like, that would never work. We would be here for 5 hours. So this is the best we can do, but we try to nominate stuff. We will do this again. We'll try to nominate different names for you guys. This is fun. It's fun for us just to make the case. Then that way, when you guys are mad, when we don't pick your favorite person, you only have yourselves to blame.
Yeah, we just get to blame you. It's great. But we'll come back and blame you another time in this drill. Thank you, everybody, so much that's participated today, that's hung out with us, that's helped kind of engage with this and voted and help pick all these players. I'll try to send a screenshot later of the results of your draft, but we really appreciate everybody, and we'll catch you.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all 6 of our channels at KCSN. Covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.